Lent means springtime, and I hope that this Lent is a springtime for your soul. It has been for me already. The days are getting longer, in both the positive sense of more light and the sense of living more intentionally, that being challenging. But Jesus takes the three apostles up Mount Tabor, and Lent is also a time to see more clearly. As we rise above earthly things, we see our weakness more clearly. We see just how attached we really are to the things that we give up. Hopefully, we see our sins more clearly so that we can live out the call to repent. But this higher position, also, and this clearer vision should also allow us to see the beauty of the springtime, to see the green growth God is bringing about in the valleys where before there were dead things. The reverse side of seeing our sins and our need for God more clearly is seeing how God has been sustaining us in the last year, maybe the last 10 years, or our whole life. In this springtime of our faith, as we look at our sins, we also see how far we have come. We see the low spots, perhaps deep canyons. And now, having climbed out of them, walked through them, we can see them against the horizon of the faith, or even just as Jesus lifts us up to Mount Tabor with him today. We see our path, the beauty of redemption, of Jesus writing our story. Or maybe your path looks more like a heroic ascent of Mount Sunflower, where you can see what God has given you for your fidelity, what climbs you have avoided to strengthen you for even higher peaks to come. As we look at the story of the transfiguration from our side of the resurrection, for Peter, James, and John, they did not yet see the beauty of the cross. They did not yet know that beauty. This account is sandwiched between two predictions of the passion, one of which I just read at the end of the story. Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Raised from the dead. It was not something that the apostles wanted to face. I think the chosen does a good job of showing that, but certainly it's merited in the Gospels by the accounts we have of the apostles refusing to face Jesus' words that he would suffer on the cross and die. Jesus wanted to firm up the faith of these three chosen apostles before they had to face the passion. They were not ready to face the passion with Jesus. But the beauty of the transfiguration hints at only comes through the cross. Our springtime renewal only comes through our sharing in the cross. I love driving through the Flint Hills in April and May when I get a chance, when everything is so green. But often that green shows through all the more clearly, or perhaps only appears at all, where the dead things have been burned away. Some of you already heard that I recorded a podcast episode with the vocations team that came out this past week. But my own call to the priesthood came in late January through the whole month of February, that I had just been through the most difficult time of my life in the fall semester, sophomore year of college. And I was going to prayer. God was not answering. God was not answering. God was not answering. Finally, he gave a little bit of an answer, but it seemed a little too late for me to care. And then, end of January, the floodgates just opened. A tidal wave, an ocean, completely overwhelming me with his love every time I went into adoration, every day for over a month, speaking to me directly and tenderly. And now I get to see that story unfold for other people in many and varied ways as they bring their own crosses to me as a representative of Christ. whether the crosses they have nailed themselves to by sin or the crosses that have been imposed upon them. And I don't always see Jesus remove the crosses that I would like to be able to take from their shoulders. But I do see the beauty of the cross, ladies and gentlemen, the love of God bringing rain to the desert, springtime, new life to things that were dead. There is a stained glass window I saw a couple years ago on my drive back from seminary for Holy Week that is still burned into my mind from a church in Illinois. It shows the same four characters from our gospel today in a different context, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Even in the gospel today, when Moses and Elijah are added to the scene, they talk with Jesus about his death. But this window of the Garden of Gethsemane, you have Peter and James asleep over here, and then John is slightly separated from them, and Jesus is up above praying fervently. The way that the window is designed, it looks as though Jesus is praying for John. And John is in the serenity of sleep, a 14-year-old kid. And you see that he is the beloved apostle, the beloved disciple. Jesus is not mad at John for falling asleep, for not being able to face the passion. But Jesus' soul is sorrowful. So awfully sorrowful that he feels he will die of a broken heart right then and there. That is what sin does. But Jesus is not mad at John. He sees the good in John much more than the evil, even as he dies to save him. The love of God is devastating. It does not leave anything standing that gets in its way. Peter, James, and John could not stand at the transfiguration upon hearing the voice from the cloud. Neither could they stand watch in the garden. The transfiguration did not bear the fruit of faith that Jesus may have wanted it to bear for these three apostles for the moment of his death. And even though John comes back, I think we can question his faith in Jesus' promise that he would be raised from the dead, that he would rise from the dead as he's witnessing the cross. But after Jesus does rise, the transfiguration comes to full fruition. The great and terrible beauty of the cross allowed humanity to experience its transfiguration. As Jesus took our burdens upon himself, he allowed us to experience a newfound glorious freedom. A transfiguration, a new life, fiat, so be it.